Our text this morning will be 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at the first three verses. If you want to get there, that's where we'll be most of the time. But our theme this year is attitudes. And we talked about attitudes. We started the theme with our Bible class this morning. Appreciate Jeff leading that study this quarter. And we talked about the definition of an attitude this morning, and that it is a settled way of thinking. I thought about that, a settled way. That means somebody is set on, this is how I think about or how I feel about something or someone. Typically, that attitude is reflected in how we live. And we talked at length about that in our Bible class this morning. And our topic that we're going to talk about this morning can most certainly reflect our attitude towards the Word of God. I'm sure you've either asked somebody or somebody has asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Or what do you want to do when you grow up? And when was the last time that you thought about growing up? When was the last time you thought about growing up? I don't care if you're 22 or whether you're 67, I still think about growing up and I look back at the years. And I'm not talking now about physical growth. I'm talking about our spiritual growth. When was the last time you thought about your spiritual growth? Last week, Coy talked to us about spiritual immaturity, and it was good to have him here and appreciate his thoughts on that. And maturity comes through growth. And when was the last time you evaluated your spiritual growth? And that's what we're going to consider this morning. We're going to consider our spiritual growth and how do we evaluate that. We hear a lot of talk today about people building bigger and bigger buildings, church buildings, or worship places to hold more and more people. But even more important than the numbers and the size of the building is that are we growing in our individual growth? Are we growing in God's Word? Are we growing individually our spiritual growth? And the Apostle Peter, he addresses this, and I'll call your attention to our text, 1 Peter chapter 2. He issues in these first three verses three commands, if you want to call it that. Commands are also challenges to us sometimes. He's not talking to the unbelieving people at this point. He's talking to the born-again Christians. And you heard me talk about a sermon probably 8-10 weeks ago. Not the bored-again Christians, but the born-again Christians. He's writing to Christians, having told them in chapter 1 of his letter that you had been born again by the power of God's Word. And then he issues these challenges to them. And his challenge, they're threefold. He tells us in these first three verses to put aside, to long for, and to grow. And let's see what we can gain from Peter's words here. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, he says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to your salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So we see here our first challenge he gives us is to put aside. Therefore, put aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. Putting aside carries with it the thought, like if you're going to put on a new piece of clothing, I would take off this old coat and I would put it aside so that I could put on a different coat or a different piece of clothing. And let's note what the believers are supposed to put aside, he says. He first says, all malice. And that's wickedness. And wickedness has to do with how we live. Do we live in accordance with, or do we live contradictory to God's commandments and God's words? The wicked, they're simply those who do not follow God's commandments. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 4 tells us, the one who says, I have come to know Him, and does not keep His commandment, he's what? He's a liar, and the truth is not in him, is what John writes for us. Believers are to put off malice, which is wickedness, the inclination to live as the world lives, and we as God's children, we're called to a different standard. God calls believers to be conformed, not be conformed of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12. Those who are born again are called to be different, to live lives where repentance is a daily concern. True repentance is a daily concern. There's a difference between true repentance and repentance. To live lives that seek the honor of Jesus above all things else. To live lives that turn away from the world and all of its allures, and instead turn to God with wholehearted devotion and commitment. Then he tells us to put aside all deceit. Deceit's when you try to pull one over on somebody for your own gain or for your own profit. To deceive for your own ends, not being honest, not forthright, a lack of integrity, basically. And then he tells us to put aside hypocrisy, going through the role of what it is to be a Christian, but it's for only show. It isn't real. It's not reality. It's without substance. The focus is to look good in somebody else's eyes for some reason, whatever that reason might be. And to look good in those eyes of the community, of the other people, maybe it's even your boss. Playing a hypocrite, not being sincere in one's worship. You may sit here and you may sing the hymns, you may sit in the pew, but there's no reality there to it. Hypocrisy, believers are called to put it aside, he says. Put it aside. And then there's envy. Someone has said that envy is the last sin to die. Envy is wanting what somebody else has had. Jesus' disciples, they were envious of each other. They debated among themselves who was to have the greatest seat of honor. We're to put envy aside. And then he says, all slander. Slander is literally talking a person down, if you will. Talking a person about a person behind their back. Or in a way that puts a person down. It also includes gossip. Everybody believes, there's not a person in here that would say that gossip is right. Everybody believes that gossip is wrong. But most participated in at some level. Peter says that's not the way Christian people should be. In the 14th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, starting in verse 18 and 19, he says, "For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men, so that we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up for one another." Slander, envy, malice, deceit, hypocrisy, those don't build one another up. Those are the things we are to put aside. Cast it off like you would an old piece of clothing. Cast them away. And all that stuff belongs in our old life. It's not, should not be part of our new, of our Christian life. And I say new, some of us have been Christians for 30 years or longer. But we continue to grow. So we're always new. Every day is a new day for a Christian. All that stuff belongs in our old life. It doesn't belong in the Christian lives. And where do congregations often struggle? What do we struggle with most of the time? Where do so often all the hurts and the hindrances come from? It's usually in the area of relationships with people. Misunderstandings, what have you. Living like the world lives. Being deceitful, being hypocrites, envious, talking about people, putting them down, putting other churches down. I've heard that. When that stuff permeates a congregation, it's divisive, and God most certainly is not pleased with it. And certainly people aren't growing when this kind of sins are prevalent among us. These things, they all have their consequences, and sin has its consequences. And the Scriptures tell us, and be sure, that sin will always find you out. And then he tells us to, like Newt, to long for God's Word. Look at verse 2 with me, if you will. And like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word. The word translated long here is the same word found in Psalms 42, verse 1, where it says, the deer pants for the water. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after thee. And you find a yearning in your heart for God. That's what panting is. Do you long to know Him better? Do you get up in the morning and ask yourself, okay, what can I do today to make me know God's Word better, to be closer to Him? This longing for God's Word, it's a passion for God's Word. It's a passion for Christ, if you will. That's the challenge for us today, because there's so many things that pull our attentions, that take our energy, that pull on our passions, if you will. There's so many things in this world that we could be passionate about instead of being passionate for God and God's Word. The one who is truly born again, Peter says, will long for the presence of the Lord. He or she will long for His Word and make every attempt to get to know God better through the pages of His Word. Being a Christian is not dependent upon or summed up by sitting here in the pew on Sunday morning and looking bored with either the Bible class teacher or the preacher. That's not the Christian faith. The Christian faith, it's dynamic, it's living, it's an active faith. It's longing for God, to know God, to be excited about God. This is a hard message sometimes to hear, but sometimes we need to hear hard messages to wake us up. There's so much indifference and so much lukewarmness in the world. Now, there is a time or a place for that lukewarmness and that indifference in the Lord's church. We simply cannot give God the leftovers. If we have the time, or if it works, or if I have the money, or if I'm not doing something else, then God will get His due. Time is coming when only the churches that are strong, that are vibrant, that are filled with vibrant and committed people who long for God's Word will survive. And I pray that the Central Mansfield Church of Christ is one of those that will survive. A little baby, he doesn't only desire his mother's milk. He has a longing, a powerful, instinctive urge for that milk. And that's what Peter's talking about here. Have that urge, a passion for Christ, a passion for God's Word. Do we have that passion? Do you have that passion individually? Do we have it as a group? Longing for the pure milk of the Word. The Bible is pure. God's Word is unadulterated. It's good food for our souls. The church, it's not an organization. It's a living organism made up of people who are called out of this world. We're called out to have a passion for Jesus. Peter says, put off the old life. Long for the milk and long for the nourishment of God's Word. I hope we can set this new year here, we can set our will that from this point to long to know God better than we've ever known Him before. We can say that every morning and get and make progress to that every morning. Long to study with the saints so that we can be an encouragement to one another, not only adding to our physical growth, which that will do as well, but to stimulate one another to love and to good works, as we're told by the Holy Spirit through the Hebrew writer. And why? Why? So that by it we may grow in respect to our salvation. Here it is. This is what it's all about. When you're putting aside the sinful things, when you're longing for the things of God and His presence, when you have a passion for Christ, then comes the learning and the spiritual growth. But now, grow in respect to your salvation. And that's what life is all about, is growing in respect to our salvation. One of growing in the knowledge of God. Is it too late? Some people may say, it's too late for me to do that. Either you may have an attitude that you've fallen so far, it's too late, God can't help me. Or we may be up in years and say, it's too late, I can't grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. No, it's never too late to learn. Never too late to learn. No matter how old you are, or what your attitude is, or what your mindset is, it's never too late. You can still learn something. Kind of makes me think of a story I heard about a police officer pulled over a car, and the occupants were two elderly couples. And the car was traveling on the interstate, and it was traveling slow. And the policeman pulled him over, and he approached the driver's side. The conversation went something like this. And the officer said, "Sir, why were you driving so slow?" And he replies, "Well, officer, I've been seeing these signs, 20. I've been seeing all these signs that say 20. I've been going 20 miles an hour." And he says, "Sir, with all due respect, those are the signs that identify the highway. This is Interstate 20. You're driving much, much too slow." And with thankful heart, he says, "Well, thank you, sir." He says, I must have gotten confused." And the officer noticed. He looks in the back seat and looks into the passenger side, and he sees the other occupants with this panic-stricken look on their face, and their knuckles are white from having held on to each other. And he says, "Are these people okay?" He says, "Oh, yes, officer. We just got off of Highway 101 a few minutes ago." So it's never too late to learn. Never too late to learn. And especially that's true in terms of the Christian faith and growing in the Lord. The challenge to all of us is today. Today is the time to grow. A time to be involved. A time to be living and serving the Lord. Putting aside the sins, longing for the things of God, His Word, and the learning more of Him, and growing spiritually. And then there's a conclusion here in verse 3, and the conclusion itself is also a challenge. He says, "If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord." The word translated kindness here literally means delicious, is what it translates. If you've tasted how delicious the Lord is. The psalmist uses this word in Psalms 34, verse 8. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see, Peter says, He is delicious. He's good for the soul. He's the bread of life for us. If you've really tasted the Lord and found Him to be delicious, then we'll do exactly what Peter has challenged us to do here. We'll put aside. We'll long for His Word. We'll put aside the sinful things. We'll long for His Word. And then we'll grow in the grace and the knowledge of His Word and in our salvation. If these challenges do not characterize your life, then you have to ask this question: am I dying spiritually? I didn't say, am I growing? If these things do not characterize your life, am I dying spiritually? If you're not growing, you're dying spiritually. You know, we measure growth in a number of ways. We have metrics to measure our finances, to measure fitness, to measure our school grades, to measure our batting average, whatever it is that we're doing. We have metrics to measure things, but how do we measure our spiritual growth? How can we be assured that the person that we are today is not the same person that I was last week or last year? can certainly look at whether or not, I study more than I did, and I understand more than I did, and I pray more than I did a week ago. But let's look at a few more things. Look quickly at the five metrics or questions that we can ask ourselves. And they'll come from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. We'll read that first. Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 3. He says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus." Excuse me. "Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, but found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." So the first thing that we can ask is, how selfless am I? Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or in vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others, he says. Not looking to your own interest, but looking for the interest of others. Looking to the interest of others. How much do I think about others in comparison to how much do I think about myself? How much am I willing to take a genuine interest in things that matter most to other people? How much do I put other people's needs before my own? Another question that we can ask is, how much am I willing to sacrifice? In verse 5, Paul encourages readers to have the same attitude of Jesus. And then in verse 6, he wrote, "Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges." Have you ever thought about what Jesus gave up in order to save us? I'm sure we have. Hopefully we think about it every day. It says he emptied himself, or he gave up his heavenly and his divine privileges. He gave up this perfect environment with the Father. He came to heaven to be a carpenter, to be a man, to be exposed to all the things that we're exposed to. And to sacrifice means to give up something that is valuable to you. We will all have those things. It could be your time. It could be your money. It could be anything else that's valuable to you. When God challenges you to do something, does He end up with the short end of the stick? Does work win out? Does school get the priority? How about all our other hobbies and our activities, extracurricular things that pull on our time and our passions? Are we willing to sacrifice any of those to be obedient to God? Our willingness to sacrifice to God and for others is a great way to measure our spiritual growth. Then he asks a third question. How much am I willing to serve? Concerning Jesus, Paul says he took the humble position as a slave. We could go on and on and on and on about Christ and his being humble and a slave. One thing that was clear in observing Jesus, though, is that he always was serving others. Always serving others. He taught others. He washed their feet. He healed people. He made disciples. And he poured his life into people. His life was about serving others and adding value to their life. Adding value to their life. So if you think of all the people he healed. Some people had never walked, and some people had never had sight. All these he healed. He added value at some level to their life. So the question that we should ask here is, do I look for people to serve me, or do I look for ways to serve other people? And the attitude of how we of service is just as important as the act. It's the attitude from a righteous heart that we talked about this morning. That is the attitude that we need to have. It's another metric for assessing our spiritual growth. Question number four that we can ask is, how much am I willing to submit? Paul continues there. He says, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, he says. The idea here is obedience. Jesus was obedient to what the Father was calling him to do. And a major way to measure our spiritual growth is to honestly assess how obedient, how submissive that we are to what God wants from us. How obedient are we are in the areas of time management, in using all the gifts that we have, in giving, how obedient in doing the things He wants us to do, to study, to be with the saints. How obedient are we in our daily walk of life? Do we let our light shine as we're told in Matthew chapter 5? We should see progress in all these things. We're not perfect. We're human. A maturing Christian is one that sees progress, not perfection, because we are not perfect. We will not be perfect. And our last and final question that we can ask is, how much am I willing to suffer? It kind of comes with sacrifice that we talked before. And Paul wrote, he says, and in Christ, He died a criminal's death on the cross. He was willing to suffer because he knew that God would use his suffering and his death to bring about a greater good. And he most certainly did, and we should be thankful for that every day. But the problem with us today is that there's too many Christians who believe that the Christian life is supposed to be smooth sailing, to be easy and to be free from difficulties. We know that's not true, but there's Christians that believe that it should be. And they get discouraged when it's not. Our growth is exemplified when we're able to endure life's difficulties and trials in a mature way, which means without constantly complaining, without pouting, without turning from the faith when things don't go our way. Part of our spiritual growth is our ability to take our share of sufferings and turn to God for strength. That's spiritual growth when we can do that. This requires that we adopt the mindset that this Christian life, it will include difficulties, but we know that God can bring about the greater good as a result of it. We talked last week about, week before last, about God disciplines us, His sons, for our greater good. All that's part of our spiritual growth. And in summary, I want us to ask ourselves these five questions. Every so often, let them measure your spiritual growth. And you can use these to measure relationships with people, be it your neighbors, be it your spouse, maybe it's people at work. You can use these five things, same five questions, to assess your relationships. Are you willing to be selfless, sacrifice, serve, submit, and suffer for others? The more we grow in these areas, the more that we look like Jesus. Evaluate our spiritual growth against the things that we've talked about here from Philippians chapter 2 and ask ourselves these five questions. If we're honest with ourselves, we're going to see that we need to reevaluate our priorities in our life, probably. At least some of them somewhere. Reestablish what's important in our life. Change the things that allow you to grow with your spiritual life. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 2, we discussed earlier, setting aside the sinful things, longing for the things of God and His Word, and then we learn and then we grow in our salvation. We grow spiritually. Growing closer to God should be our lifelong aspiration. That's what it's all about. If that is our goal, then our focus and our lives will show that. They'll reflect it And if so, we will grow spiritually. It goes back to that definition that our attitudes usually reflect the way we live or our actions. So that is our lesson this morning. Hopefully we have plans and ways to grow spiritually. It's laid out in God's Word. Let's use it and let's study it. If we can assist you in your service to the Lord this morning, we stand ready to assist you. If you feel the need, come forward as we sing. Stand and sing, please.